1. We will call to order this meeting of the Village of River Forest Sustainability Commission. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes, here.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadleck?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos? Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
All right. And then pursuant to the Open Meetings Act, which allows for remote participation for those unable to be physically present for work-related reasons, employment-related reasons, Commissioner, we need a motion and a second and then a vote to allow Commissioner Avalos to participate remotely.
Motion to allow Commissioner Avalos to participate remotely.
Second.
Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadleck?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
All right. Commissioner Avalos is now on the roll. Moving on to the first official item of business, or the next official item of business, public comment. We have none. I've not received anything in advance, and there's no one in the audience. So we will move on to adoption of the February 10th meeting minutes. Did anyone have any corrections, clarifications that they wanted to make, any edits to the minutes? All right. With that, could we get a motion and a second?
I motion we accept the meeting minutes of February 10th.
I will second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadleck?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
Minutes are adopted. All right. Moving on to commissioner updates. If anyone has anything, the floor is yours.
I guess mine is just more of an inquiry. If there's any progress on filling the two vacant spots.
I have not heard anything. So I know typically in April or May, there's a whole bunch of commission appointments and reappointments with the expiration of the various commissions. I think every commission's sort of term expiration date is set for April 30th. So I don't know if they're holding it until then, or if there's, I honestly don't know the reason, but yeah, I have not heard anything.
Perhaps something next month.
Yep.
Okay.
Right. No one else has anything else. We can move on to our next item of business. So we discussed this last month. We've got two proclamations tied to the Bird City efforts. And then I know we are still planning the Bird City events. It seems like the Forest Preserve event is locked in and fully set. All right, Student Commissioner Steerwalt is here at 7:04.
So now we have two, I don't know if...
Yes, there was the library event. I had not seen it on their calendar.
Forest Preserve.
Oh.
Prevents. So it's the May 9th event. And then Adam came up with, offered us May 19th in the morning, a bird walk, guided bird walk. So that will also include is a World Migratory Bird Day event.
Awesome.
And they are doing that. And so that's three events all together.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I haven't gotten time around to this, but I was going to develop a separate sort of subpage dedicated to Bird City and all the various bird efforts on the sustainability website, which I'll hopefully have ready next month now that budget season is hopefully behind me. But just promoting all these events and having everything sort of in one place that we can repeatedly share on social media to just sort of drive resident interest and engagement. But with regard to the proclamations, just pulling up my copies here.
I think I offered to edit these just to proof them, but I flaked on that. When will you?
I mean, we can bring these to the board basically whenever. I am out this Friday through next Tuesday. And then the I believe the next board meeting is the following Monday. So if there's something by to me by next Wednesday,
what's the date? Wednesday,
the 18th.
If you had edits by the 18th, you could take them to the board.
Yes.
Okay.
I had just a few edits. I imagine this is coming off a template from.
Yes, these are both templates that I had very, very lightly adjusted.
From the, I forget what the organizing body is.
Oak Park, I thought.
Is it from Oak Park or from the organizing?
The Lights Out one is modeled after the Oak Park one.
The migratory.
And then the migratory bird one. I don't know if I had just pulled what another Illinois community had adopted or what the World Migratory Bird Day website. And I was trying to dig back through where I had gotten it from.
It doesn't really matter. But my comment was just that I thought maybe we could start off with some of the more hard-hitting points than that birds are beautiful and easily observed. I don't mean that that's not important, but I just thought some of the things further down, like, you know, where's migratory birds and their habitats are declining throughout America. Like, that seems more like the immediate, like, there would be less of a need for this if it was just that they were beautiful. So if you want, I could suggest it, or you could just, but, you know, sort of pull up the more hard hitting ones, like the declining, the economic role, and then, you know, maybe like wrapping up with these other things about.
Would you or anyone on the commission mind if I actually wrote some copy myself?
Incorporated that in.
And brought it in. I totally agree with you.
Okay.
And then I would add to.
Okay.
Because I actually think there's not enough of that.
Okay.
So.
And then I thought there was one other thing that we should consider taking out, and, you know, we can punt this over, but just thought. So we have an observation. So the paragraph, we're down near the bottom now. It says, whereas World Migratory Bird Day officially is held each year on the second Saturday, it need not be, and everything. I mean, I just wonder if that really needs to be in here. I don't know if anybody else has any other thoughts about that, but.
Well, that gives a kind of a reason why we'll be doing a bird walk on the 19th, and then the book reading is on the 28th, and it kind of makes it into bird month, you know, and we're not doing everything on one day, but I don't think it's essential if you feel like it.
Maybe we can just say in a general, more general way, say then while World Migratory is held each year on the second Saturday in May, observations may occur throughout the month. It just seems like so sort of specifically, I don't know. It just seems like something you would see. I don't feel really strongly about this. I just wanted to bring it up because it jumped out. But, you know, if you want to, you can just consider that in your rewrite. But.
Okay. It's kind of clunky, if that's what you mean. Yeah.
And then there was one specific edit in the Lights Out proclamation. I know the feedback from the commission was to incorporate some things that the village is actually doing with regard to village facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to our superintendent of operations for our public works department. This is not sort of a widespread thing, but it's something they've sort of implemented on a sort of one-off basis at a few locations throughout. I think one of the nearby streetlights on Lake Street here is, but when they're doing work up in the bucket on a streetlight, which is pretty rare, most of our streetlighting issues are the wires underground, but they will put in light diffusers up top. And then he was also explaining there's some component to the streetlight, and I guess the standard, I can't remember, I'm completely blanking on the term, but the standard component is about like a $20 piece of equipment. And he's starting to just look into this like sort of $60 version of it that has dimming capabilities and just other things like that as well, and sort of better remote monitoring and various things. So I did incorporate language of installing light diffusers on streetlights and then exploring additional street lighting technology. That second component is not something that's been implemented on any village streetlights as of yet. But again, this is sort of one of these things that if a light goes out and it's something up in the light itself rather than the wire, this is something we can get up and then easily swap that out at that time and sort of test it out and see how it works.
What is a diffuser?
That's sort of the, basically the shields that like directionally point, concentrate the light down.
And that is, those don't presently, are not presently up there already?
Those have only been installed on, I think he said maybe 20 lights throughout the village.
Okay.
So the LED conversion of streetlights had happened
10 years ago.
Yeah, just all at once. And so there hasn't been many lights going out. And I think this initially came about, if I recall correctly, the Aging in Place Ad Hoc Commission had wanted brighter lighting. And so in order to do that, it was concentrated down. It was the best way that they figured out how to do that. And sort of just as in a few locations, I think there's a couple along Washington near the parks as well, just sort of installed these while they were doing sort of incidental work on them to sort of test it out, be an example of it. It's not something that's, you know, they've gone around and then installed on every...
The diffusers.
The diffusers have not, but they've started to in
sort of... Okay, so as you, the need arises, you'll put these in.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you could say it kills two birds with one stone.
Yes.
And then the street lighting thing... Yeah, right, wrong, wrong, bad. Slipped that one, flew past. Is this the street lighting technologies? Is that like
that's the
car drives down the road and the lights brighten as the car
drives? I think it would be more,
or pedestrians or whatever.
I don't know.
Motion sensor,
I don't know if it's motion sensor or if it's like time sensor, where like as it starts to become evening, it's like a dimmer lighting but still adequate, like during the sunset twilight hours when they like automatically trigger on, and then, you know, at sort of what are deemed high traffic or high risk times, it could be more brightly lit and then dimmer at like lower traffic times.
I got it.
So yeah, I don't know all the capabilities of it. He had just mentioned, like when I was asking about the diffusers, that he's like, yeah, I'm starting to look into this as well.
This is Jack?
No, Brian, our superintendent. Jack is our director. Brian is based out of our public works garage, so he oversees our maintenance crews on a day-to-day basis.
He's the guy looking into this hard.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Would you feel, would you have feelings about me adding or us adding a paragraph encouraging institutions within the village to, you know, consider measures they could take to this effect as well?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll come up with something that's not too, that's, you know, positive and encouraging.
Yeah.
And I see in the notes you had, or maybe it was Gary, had suggested that with this proclamation, we circulate some of the student generated media. And I think that,
yes,
to the board, and then also for the, on this website that you're going to.
Yep. And actually the, I decided to take what you had sent me this week, and I can share my screen. Just one second here. All right, Manolo, can you see this?
Yep.
All right. So this is what David had sent me. And then this week's social media post was going to be the lights out migratory bird season, just quick blurb post. And then this, I had actually sort of taken a sort of converted this to a JPEG and used that as the image that will go accompanying with it on the social media post.
So you have the copy, the text you need for that post?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Who designed this?
This was designed by, I'll let you.
Yeah, no. Environmental Club at Roosevelt student Miranda, or Matilda, sorry. Matilda or Miranda, I got to check. Do you want to give them credit?
I had just said the accompanying image or something like that was designed by a Roosevelt middle school student to raise awareness, or like, I'll need to look
from,
up the.
From the let's shout out the Environmental Club there.
Yes.
And then on the two occasions that they provided media to us, it's been attributed to the student. So yep. So I get the impression that they wouldn't mind that attribution. I don't know how you feel about
it. I just don't know what it is about, like, specifically naming the student and like various like media disclosures and that sort of stuff.
Okay,
but
so
we
keep it general.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. A Roosevelt Middle School Environmental Club.
Yes.
Awesome.
So this is going out with what?
This will go out. The image will be on social media, and then hopefully it's included also in the weekly newsletter.
Okay, good.
And then, yeah, this will be one of the things that sort of, as I develop out the web page, we can add these as sort of attachments to it.
Are there other student designs?
There was one from last week or last month. I know it had a few typos in the sort of copy of it.
Do you want to use that too? I'll have them correct it. Yeah, we'll use that too. Okay.
Yeah, and I can even just like sort of bullet point those and like, these were designed by Roosevelt Middle School Environmental Club members, and offer tips on.
And what would you use that first one for? That was about, I think, bird collisions or glass window collisions, window strikes. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay, and there may be more coming.
Good.
Yep.
You know, just as they find the time.
Yeah, and like, we can share each one on a separate social media post. I mean, I think this is something that will draw a lot of interest and a lot of sort of positive reaction from the residents, you know, based on, you know, the topic, the involvement of the students. Yeah, I think this is something we can continue to sort of promote throughout the spring and summer. And
yeah, this is one student that's motivated and seems to have some graphic design flair. So just
if they see themselves published, there'll probably be more coming forward.
When would the earliest, I guess, after the March board meeting, when we get the proclamations approved, then you would put some of this, it would start going up.
Yeah. So yeah, there's just like one general post running this Friday and Saturday
with this.
Yeah. But then, yeah, once the proclamations are adopted, we'll start to roll out more and more information.
Okay. So I will tell the student this weekend to look, or Friday, Saturday, to look for this.
Yeah, and please, Dave, as they work on other topics, whether it be recycling or composting, whatever, if they have those things.
Oh, okay. I'll let her know.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a one topic.
Yeah.
Okay. If she's interested. Yeah.
Same with the high school.
There's some people at the high school who are really good with graphic design, so I'm sure you can get people to do stuff like this.
What's that?
There are people at the high school that are like really, really good at graphic design and stuff. So
That'll come in handy this summer, I think.
What?
That could come in handy this summer for the Nighthawk project.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Are they in the club over there? Do you know?
I don't know anyone specifically in the club, but I know they have like graphic design clubs, and I'm sure that there's some members from
we
that.
Could pull in someone maybe to help out.
Certainly.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm certain all you folks are fairly decent at it.
Yeah.
All right.
Not like our generation. Crayons.
And then I didn't know if you guys wanted to make an official motion or vote on either of these. With proclamations, there have been times that it's been sort of officially voted on at the commission level to sort of recommend the board adopt it. Sometimes it just goes straight to the board. So I,
Well, let's wait till, they come back with a few edits, and let's just, we have time, right? Next meeting.
If we wanted to bring it to the next board meeting, that would be before our next meeting.
We could vote like with
Yeah, including
adjustments.
edits. Yeah.
I mean, you're going to
Okay.
stick pretty close to what's here, right?
Set.
You're going to stick pretty close to what's here, so we could just have a motion that we approve it with your
Prospective edits.
yeah.
Yeah, I would add maybe a paragraph or two to the World Migratory Bird Day proclamation, and maybe one over on the lights out. But it would be kind of along the lines of what I just discussed, so no surprises.
Okay. I motion then we take a motion on this to accept pending edits.
Second.
Right. And then this is both proclamations together.
Yeah.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlick?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt?
Yes.
All right. So pending edits as discussed and recommended by the commission will recommend the Village Board approve proclamations for World Migratory Bird Day and Lights Out during peak bird migration.
You got it.
And you
Good
want
job.
this by Wednesday the 18th.
Yeah, if you get it to me Thursday, I can still turn around and get it in Thursday, but Wednesday would be better
No,
just for me to.
that's not a problem. That's fine. Okay.
Do we have anything else regarding Bird City?
Well, I have some updates. I don't know how into the weeds people want to get, but I didn't bring them up during the commissioner updates, but now I think might be the appropriate time. Yes. So somehow or another, I'm not sure quite how it happened, but Adam Kessel, the Forest Preserve at Thatcher Woods, found a date, and they are providing us with a naturalist who is going to lead a guided walk through Thatcher Woods. With all of their, support, binoculars, bird identification, flyers, and whatnot. So that's pretty cool. And I've told one of the board members of Chicago Bird Alliance, formerly Audubon, that they'd be free to publicize this to their people. So it will go out to a wide range of folks in the Chicago area who may attend. And that the event will be promoted as something that's sponsored by the Sustainability Commission of River Forest in cooperation with Trailside. So I think that's pretty cool.
Dave, is that the one you brought up before? Is that the one?
No, it's a second one.
Oh.
That this is on the 19th, the bird walk from 10 to 11:30, if you want to come. Assuming you have nothing else to do. The other one is May 9th on World Migratory Bird Day, and
Right.
that's the
Okay.
big sit where
Right.
the birding for boomers, where you sit in the lawn chair and wait for them to come to you. But some other things that are cool, and this just kind of materialized. There's a fellow, I think he's your neighbor, Mr. Hart, Jeff Hart, or he's your father's neighbor. Okay, I met him through your dad. He's an avid birder. He knows Thatcher Woods like the back of his hand. He's been paying very close attention for a decade or more, and he has volunteered to become the citizen steward of the Thatcher Woods Bluebird Trail. If I don't know if you're familiar with this, but around the Nomo area, well, around the periphery of the large field, part of which is now being transitioned to a prairie, are four or five boxes that were installed to house bluebirds, which this is sort of a practice that's widespread to support that species. And it only works if someone is taking care of it, cleaning them out, removing competing species and whatnot. So he has, after I spoke with him, kind of to in conjunction with our whole project here, volunteered to be the official steward, which means like on a kind of almost not daily, but every other day basis, he's going to walk through during breeding season and clean these things out. So that's, I don't have the checklist in front of me, but I definitely think when we make our application, that'll be a great thing to highlight. So I'm happy about that. And that just emerged since our last meeting. That's not our focal species of the nighthawk, but it is an important species that has returned to Thatcher Woods in some numbers after not being present for a long time. Also, I think since we had our last meeting, I went to the the meeting of the OPRF Environmental Club. It was very well attended, and gave a presentation on the nighthawk and what we're about. And it seemed to me, unless I'm mistaken, that there was a fair degree of enthusiasm amongst the students.
I thought it was very well received. And I just found out they have that Google form we put up to find volunteers, and 12 kids have already responded.
Oh,
they would be interested in maybe taking part in the summer program. So
okay. That's
also a foot in the right direction.
A step in the right direction. Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, they had taken the initiative to set up a sign up. And I don't even know what's going on, but we'll check. I think next month we'll start more closely attending to the details of who's going to be joining and what everybody's job is. And Miss Wong over there, the sponsor, is in communication with the facilities people and is waiting back to hear if we can get up on the roof. Oh, the other good news is that we have official approval to get up on the roof at Roosevelt. I forget what the date, June 16th, I think. So I believe, yes. To look for nests and chicks and whatnot. So we will have at least one rooftop observation. And another related note, the one guy that's actually doing this in the Midwest is an ornithologist down at Bradley University in Peoria. And he has been chasing nighthawks around rooftops in the greater Peoria area. And I've been in communication with him. He's very excited and he wants to know how he can help. So I'm going to talk to him about details, but that makes as of now three practicing scientists who I think we can name as advisors and sort of mentors to this project. This guy at Berkeley, there's another at the U of I in Champaign-Urbana, and then a fish and wildlife biologist out in Oregon that we talked to. So I think that's impressive that, you know, we're sort of making sure we have some input from authority, scientific figures. Anything else from the OPRF side?
Nailed most of it. Okay. Miss Wong is currently working with the person who runs the roof access right now. So she's running some communication with him right now. I think she's mentioned to him like multiple times in the hallway or something. So she's trying to work towards hopefully getting a roof access at OPRF. So if we could get OPRF and Roosevelt, that'd be awesome. But
that would
we'll
be,
see where
that
goes.
Thank you very much for keeping tabs on that. I don't know, Ben, about Triton. I haven't really.
I don't know, to be honest, but I wrote down that I can ask this week to see if that's a possibility to have students on the roof. I know.
Or if not students, then just a handful of people. Like,
oh, yeah, I'm sure that would be more feasible. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then if there are any volunteers over that Dr. Brown?
Turner.
Sorry?
Turner. The
Sheldon?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If he knows of any, I haven't talked to him in a while. So if maybe we can keep that conversation alive.
Yeah, for sure. I can check in with him and see.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And certainly by like mid-April, when we're designing the protocol, I will send him a copy and we can start talking about that and like how seriously do they want to be involved over there. And
okay. That. I'll give him a heads up about that.
Okay. So.
Dave, are there any ground level areas? When you first brought this up, I Googled it and they live on the ground basically in rocky areas. So like along railroad tracks, abandoned railroad tracks, those kinds of things, places. Should those be also part of what we're looking at, where we're looking?
Yeah. I mean, the way it's designed right now is, the monitoring window is going to be at dusk, and it's basically going to be acoustic, auditory, and then maybe we'll see some stuff. And then we're going up on these rooftops, but
that'll be at dusk or during the daylight.
That'll be like, yeah, bright. During, you're suggesting, should we select some sites that may, I mean, we could, it would kind of be a shot in the dark, but, if, you know, do you have a favorite, a place in mind? I mean,
well, no, but it's, you get all these abandoned railroad tracks. And when I read about them, they live in like gravelly areas with brush.
There's a piece that goes through the forest preserves,
right,
which might be a good.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we could ask someone, and then G.A.R. Woods, you know, there's a clearing there that's kind of off the beaten path.
But it's not gravelly, is it?
No, no.
Isn't that a prerequisite?
Well,
all behind forest and all the way through. And
the tracks, you mean?
Yeah.
I was thinking more of the tracks.
All abandoned.
Right? Yeah, that you pick up at just at Augusta. You know, on Thatcher, and then goes right through the woods. And it's also a part of the woods that not a lot of people make it up that far.
Yeah.
There is deer activity there. I don't know if that's...
Deer.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't find that on roofs.
Deer. Yeah, right. Okay, let me process that and think about, like, ground level daytime.
And then there's also the like auxiliary parking lot just north of Chicago, which is just west of the entrance to the pavilion.
They just re-graveled all that a couple of years
ago. And again, it's not.
Where is this?
It's if you're on Chicago going west, it's just past the entrance to the pavilion. You know, that big auxiliary parking lot, which is which is gravel and
huge.
Yeah, and on a normal day, there's not. Nothing there.
Oh, I never thought of that. Okay.
Yeah.
Thatcher parking lot.
Exactly, because across the street from the trailside parking lot.
Okay. And whatever that line is that goes through town.
Right.
I know you said that they're very difficult to see because they're so well camouflaged, and you may not see them during the day, but
it's worth a shot. And I think especially that auxiliary parking lot in Thatcher, that's really interesting. Mm-hmm. That could be exactly the kind of place that we might see them.
Especially like on the perimeters, you know, on the perimeters of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. I'll see what, if we can work that in, and maybe someone would want to go check it out and I can check it out and make that a part of our circuit. Thank you. That's all I've got.
All right. In that case, we will move on to our next item on the agenda. So our village electric aggregation program is set to expire in, I believe, September of this year. We did receive an offer for renewal of the aggregation program. There are sort of choices of two different terms and two different term lengths for the contract. So 12 or 24 months for the renewal. And then there's a choice between a civic grant or civic contribution of $1,250 a month or 10% green wind renewable energy credits. To give some background on this, authority for this was first approved by referendum in 2012. This was implemented in 2020. At the time, they gave several options for contracts with sort of a civic contribution mixed with renewable energy credits, and sort of a lower civic contribution, the higher the amount of renewable energy credits there was. At the recommendation of the Sustainability Commission at the time, the board elected to choose the 100% renewable energy credits contract, And I believe the civic contribution was $30,000 at the time.
36,000.
So that went for 24 months. The two subsequent renewals were no civic contribution and 5% renewable energy credits.
Inexplicably.
Yes. So this one is a little bit higher in terms of RECs, if that were the way to go, or there's the civic contribution, civic grant option as well, which would be, I guess, just a little bit below what was received. Was that 36,000 annually or?
Yeah.
Or, so not just so no, less than half.
About half.
So I put together as much information as I could in this memo.
Would the 15,000 go to like a sustainability budget?
That could be a recommendation made. So talking with other communities and other sustainability staffers, basically none of their communities take the RECs. And a lot of them, it's sort of dedicated for sustainability projects. That's what Oak Park does with their aggregation program. Trying to remember who are the other communications. It's Oak Park who organizes a sort of suburban sustainability staff sort of quarterly meeting, and this came up. But yeah, almost every community I've spoken with.
Have you asked them, are there any competitors to MC Square? Because it seems like they come to us, they said, this is our terms, yes or no. But I mean, this has got to be a fraction of what they're making on 2,000 households aggregated electricity.
Yeah, with regard to aggregation programs, I believe they are the only one in the region.
Is this just for my own knowledge? This is not the community solar program.
This is separate from community solar. Yeah. So there are other competitors in terms of community solar programs. You know, Nexamp is the other sort of major one. And a lot of times sort of Nexamp and MC Squared, I know, will refer sort of waitlisted customers to the other in terms of community solar sign up. But in terms of aggregation programs, I would need to look into it more, but I am fairly certain there are a couple of other aggregation, electric aggregation program companies in the Ameren region, but really in the ComEd region, it's MC Squared.
I would, and this may be something that you already, there's a simple answer for, but I mean, do these same programs work against each other? I mean, this, if we're having subscription to community solar as well as this aggregation program,
they do not know.
They didn't,
so yeah,
cannibalizing each other somehow or overlapping.
You can buy one both.
You can do both.
Yes, you can do both.
And
when you opt in and when you opt out.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you do both, presumably then you're getting even more green electricity.
Well, if we go for the civic contribution, there won't really be anything directly green about these.
Yeah.
So Seth, what's the benefit to a resident to sign up for the aggregate program? Originally, when we're getting, at least in people's minds, we're getting 100% credit right towards what you call green energy.
Yeah, that
now it's only like a 10%.
Yeah.
And beyond that, what would be the benefit to them?
There isn't really any benefit or any harm, I guess, is the way to do it, because it's
any cost.
Yeah. So it's, you know, per the contract, it's the same as the ComEd rate. It's still all billed through ComEd. If it were to expire, you'd go right back to the ComEd mixed sources of energy.
Right. But from a feel good standpoint, what would the person be getting from it?
Well, first of all, it's an opt-out program. So really, a resident needs to be aware that they're in this program, and then they call the village and they opt out. So it doesn't really need to be sold.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, residents are notified when the, mailings go out of, you're being enrolled, or this is a continuation of, or something like that. Or even if they are, for some reason, dropped from the program, they will receive that notice as well. So these notices go out. I get a lot of these calls, when these do happen. And then a couple months later, ComEd will send them an additional notice to let them know that it's gone through, and I'll get a whole second round of calls about it. So yeah, there's notice to it. With the past ones, how I've explained it is that, there's a portion of it is renewable energy credits. If it were this time around, it would be that, per your suggestion, there's a civic contribution going to local sustainability efforts would be the sort of other way to sell it.
Yeah, without doing any math, because I don't have numbers to do it with, it just seems like from a sustainability value standpoint to the community, taking the 15 grand is more, it'd be better than taking 10% of whatever renewable credits. That's just my gut sense.
Yeah, and RECs are a complicated thing to begin with to try and explain.
I don't understand this.
Yeah, and like I tried to, like this last paragraph, I tried to sort of dumb down as much as possible, and it's still like I was confusing myself in the process.
Not dumb enough. I mean,
yes.
I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, electrons just flow through the wires, so you don't know where they're coming from. So, but you're occurring within the overall system.
It's an energy account.
So that's not really how it works, because MC squared is just negotiating this, but the aggregation is purchasing from the same sources as ComEd. There's a, I don't know if you mentioned this here, but there's a like a centralized purchasing, and everybody's purchasing for that. So the energy is the same. So what a REC is, and it's complicated, and I probably won't get this right, but if you're, I think these were specifically wind, you said. So if you're setting up a project, you can take, it's really more of an accounting thing. You can take some of the carbon offsets and you can sell them. And that's what the RECs are. So criticism of the program, I think maybe Seth says this, criticism of the program is that it doesn't really increase renewable energy. What it does is it helps to finance it. So, you could say on the margin, a project that wouldn't be able to do it without selling some of the carbon offsets wouldn't be able to do it. But I think there was more enthusiasm for this, 5 or 10 years ago. But I think right now there's a lot of people questioning whether this is really doing anything.
I have a question. So community solar, does that drive, what's the language here? Drive new renewable generation? Subscription to that program where you're getting your
that
from a farm?
Is I don't, I'm trying to like figure out, I want to make sure I explain it correctly, even though I don't fully understand it. So there's the, like in terms of the sort of renewable portfolio standards that like everyone has to meet for like that
the state.
Utilities have to meet for the state.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially in part, but that's not sort of the,
I mean, wouldn't, if the state has, under the big legislation they passed trying to get to whatever 40% by 2030, they want to encourage more green renewable facilities. So if there are more people saying, I want to sign up with a farm, community solar, then that tells the market, we need to go build more of these.
Yep.
And so a consumer can make that connection in their head, right? Now, I don't know how many electrons in any given wire are going to come from that farm to my house, which is what you're saying. But nonetheless, it seems like a more straightforward way of achieving this outcome of getting solar panels on the ground.
So I think you're correct in one way, but not another, which is this 25% going towards 40%, that specifically refers to the energy that ComEd or anybody is using to supply. And so while it's true that increasing rooftop and community solar is going to increase the solar, that's not going to affect the energy being purchased by ComEd, is my understanding. Well, but it is being uploaded into the system.
When I did my next stamp, it's tied to a specific farm they're building, and it's allocated. There's only so many kilowatts or whatever, however they do it, megawatts, that they can get out of these systems, and then they sell that off, and then that's, so you kind of had to wait in queue. It took me a year to get on it, and then you have a piece of your power that's in theory allocated to that. Again, it all goes into the greater system and all that, so I don't know where my electrons actually come from, but they did build a farm and allocated so much of that
but the question is that being included in this 25%?
Which 25%? You referring to the one, an aggregate,
the renewable energy
portfolio standards.
Portfolio standard.
Oh. Yes. I think the answer is yes, but the sort of financial benefit people receive from subscribing to community solar is more direct.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In that it would be same as if you had solar panels on your roof and were selling that to the grid through net metering. So that's, part of that electricity that ComEd is buying that needs to hit these certain...
I mean, ComEd can only buy it if there are farms in the ground, and the farms on the ground are only going to be built if they can be assured that there's a market, and they can only be assured there's a market if we are getting the subscribers together. So community solar is a way to drive that market, whereas this aggregation stuff, I don't, maybe it was like an earlier model of trying to accomplish this kind of thing. And it seems to, I mean, I'm kind of in this instance taking myself as maybe Joe Q Public, but the community solar just seems a little bit more straightforward and concrete in terms, and perhaps even financially more effective.
It is much more financially beneficial to those who sign up. Harder to explain to people.
Community solar?
Yes.
There's a bigger logistical, everything you say is true, but the bigger logistical problem is that because of this referendum, which Seth referenced at the beginning, March of 2012, and because of the way these programs are set up, you can have an aggregation program that was opt out. I mean, would that we could do that for community solar, if we could just say like, yeah, the whole community is going to go to community solar. And if you don't want to be part of it, if you don't want to get a 15% discount, you have to opt out. But you can't do that. So on community solar, we have to convince household by household. And to date, we haven't been very effective at that.
Yeah,
whereas for the aggregation, they sweep in. They've managed to put, you have the number here.
2031.
Yeah, which is clearly over half the village. Is it?
Yeah.
Not quite two thirds.
But it's invite only. I mean,
this also includes small commercial properties, so it might be right around half then.
So
base my household count on the I guess it could concern multi-unit buildings as well.
Yeah.
The 3,000 is the garbage count, which is really just single family residential and the few two flats and three flats.
Right. So about half. And so what the aggregation program does is they have access to, at least on an aggregate level, they have access to all of our bills. So they go in and look at the ones that are going to be the most lucrative for them. And then they choose those. So they kind of cherry pick out the half of the village that are supplying our energy, or in that group's energy, is the least, at least cost. So the people who are using a lot of energy in the highest, like in the summer, there's really big differences in how much. In fact, very early in the morning, you can be paid for using electricity on a really hot day when they're gearing up, all of the stuff and everything. So they come in and they pick out. So, I don't mean to shed any tears over ComEd, which is another big monopoly. But, that is how, I'm sure they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars off of this program. And then they throw us a little crumb of $15,000 to keep us engaged. But it's very different than the, I agree with you. If we could get everybody on community solar, that'd be amazing.
So people are free to choose either one of these.
They don't choose. They don't choose this. They get put in it. They have to realize that they're in it. They get informed, but you know how people don't read everything. So and then if they have a problem with it, which some do, because yes. Seth hears from them, then you have to opt out. If you do nothing, you're in it. So you're not choosing it. Yeah.
The only, and I've only had one instance of this being the case. The only time this can create an issue with the automatic enrollment is if somebody's on the ComEd hourly pricing, which they're trying to sort of as you sort of explained it, game the system on when they use their electricity to sort of optimize their rate of electricity. That's a very small amount of people. But most anyone else who's just getting the standard ComEd state established, paying the state established rate, it's paying the same rate as this. And then if they ignore the opt-out mails on ComEd, they'll see for the energy thing it'll say MC squared just as one extra line in there.
I do want to do a footnote to that, which is that people who are using hourly pricing and are, you know, actively engaged in it, that is a green, probably greener than community aggregation, because what they're doing is they're pushing their consumption to the times of day where it's lowest. And the reason it's green is because the dirtiest energy is used at the peak time. That's when they go in and say, like, okay, you know, now we need to, whereas the most efficient energy is used during, you know, the lower, that's where they go first. So during the lower, so it is green. And I would argue it was greener than community aggregation. But
yeah, peak energy times are using as a percentage of the energy on the grid, natural gas particularly is much higher. Coal to some extent, coal has been just sort of slowly shrinking over time. At the sort of lowest moments, you know, if it's overnight, it's probably nuclear. If it's, you know, during the day, it's probably a mix of nuclear and solar. Wind is sort of in between. They can sort of adjust the direction of the windmills to turn them on and start selling them to the grid or not, is how sort of the large windmill farm operations work.
It's complicated.
So if I can really simply summarize kind of my thinking or understanding of this aggregate program, is it doesn't hurt, doesn't
Correct.
Really help, except it gives us 15 grand.
Yes.
And if we do nothing, we get nothing. So question would be, do the aggregate and take the 15 grand that we can apply to sustainability? That was kind of my initial.
I agree with that. I was just wondering like how, I was just trying to think through pro and con. But yeah, I totally agree with that practical approach. I have to say, I should have brought this up in my commissioner announcements, but I've been doing a fair amount of driving through the Midwest and Iowa and rural Illinois in the last couple of months. And I'm just astounded at the explosion of wind turbines on the landscape.
Go through Indiana, take 65 south.
Indiana, I haven't been down that way, but just central Illinois, western Illinois, Iowa, completely covered. Just within like 6 months, it's the difference is really striking. It's incredible.
It's those wrecks, David. It's those wrecks.
What's that?
It's those wrecks encouraging them to. I'm joking. I don't know if it is.
I think farmers are just getting a little bit more revenue.
They get
renting out their land.
Yep.
So what do we need to do with this, Seth?
If I know with the last one, the board had wanted the commission's input on this. I just sort of assumed the same with this time. So I, before even mentioning this to the board, brought this to you all. We would need a recommendation from you all. So it would be to extend the master power supply agreement with MC squared with the offer of the Civic grant earmarked specifically for sustainability efforts. And then that would be for a term of 12 or 24 months would be
well,
the other.
I'd say 12, because then they may come up with similar offer in 12 months and then we could get more.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's the risk.
Yeah, but then you're in the same position you'd be with the 24-month agreement, right?
Yeah.
So
I would do the 12-month too.
Wait, explain that if we go for the 24 month, we get 15,000 for 2 years. If we go with the 12 month, they could come back and say, whoops, sorry, now there's no civic contribution, you know, as they did for the last 4 years.
Oh, is it 15 for each of the 2 years in the 24?
Yeah, it's
I misunderstood that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a monthly.
So if we signed up for the 24 month term, it would be
30,000.
Oh, yes, right. Correct.
So, I mean, it's possible that they, you know, if you waited, they come back next year, but.
No, I misunderstood.
I feel like there needs to be a little pushback from, like, you know, if you meet with this consortium of, like, maybe you guys could get together and push back and say, like, you know, could you share with us how much you're making off of our program and why are we only getting 15,000? But I feel like there would not be an appetite for doing that.
I mean, I can float it out the next time I'm on a Zoom call with these people and we can see and.
How many communities are there?
It varies meeting to meeting. I honestly don't know. It's a pretty broad.
It's not C4, is it?
No. So it started off with, I think the sort of initial contact list came from the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus Environmental Commission meetings.
Well, that would be a good place to bring it up because they do seem like they would, you know, have the wherewithal to.
With that, I do think the MMC specifically endorses the MC squared aggregation program.
That's okay, but I'm just saying that they could get together and say, like, you know, could you provide us some information on what you're making off of our collective programs? Because that's a huge, huge membership, and you know, why are we getting such a small percentage of it? But
meanwhile, with that 30 grand, like. Would we have some say in that, yeah, in what's done with that? What's that? That would we have a budget?
That's what I'm thinking.
I think that would be.
That's not automatic.
Yeah, that's not.
That's our recommendation.
That would yeah right. That would be.
If history serves as any guide, we did not, when we were getting that 36,000, we did not have any discretion over it. That's not to say that the village didn't use it for
sustainability,
but we had no say over. I mean, I guess we could say that we have, we recognize that it's there. So in coming up with a proposal, we could put it in. But
I think we should advocate for a strong consultatory position with regards to the use of those funds, to whether we agree as to their sustainability.
Was there any project in the past years that was, like, directly tied to the money? Or in regards to the commission?
The time that the civic contributions run was before I started. So I started right after the initial renewal went in place. So where it automatically dropped down to the 5% recs and there was no civic contribution. And within my first couple of weeks, I was being asked questions of why do all these, does all this old information still say we're getting a civic contribution? And we weren't, so.
Well, I would propose we did two things. It seems like any pushback would take a long time to organize, but I would suggest the 24-month term on the civic contribution, but concurrently try to seek other organizations, be it Metropolitan Mayors or C4 or some other organization, which might be able to organize, because I think, you know, we have the ComEd monopoly. Well, it's not really a monopoly because we can go with the aggregation, but we have the ComEd, which has, you know, a lot of service. And then if this is the only alternative, then they just set their, you know, they just did set their things. And 15,000 is a really negligible amount in my estimation of what they're making off of this program. So I would say that we do those two things together and be prepared in 2 years to, you know, come back and say, like, you know, you need to do better, or Metropolitan Mayors, or, you know, I don't know if you could get agreement on that, but I feel like we should at least try.
I mean, I agree with Susan on her, you know, understanding what's in it, what are they making off of this? Are we really getting a good piece of the pie? But I would also suggest and really want to put in there that this civic contribution, this 30 grand, some way that it's worded, our recommendation is that it needs to be something that's visible to the community. So buying an electric blower is not, and that can, I mean, a lot of things can be called sustainable. So I think it is sustainable. But I mean, but the community is the one putting in for that.
Something public facing.
This needs to be public facing, and so, you know, something that ties it to recommendations from us.
Yep.
Right. That is how I would look at it. That way, it is something that people see, and not just, okay, we just bought something sustainable, right? That'd be my thought on it. I mean, even it went to fund part of this project out here.
Landscape design or
that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that would be good.
When there's one of the many places I walk my dogs through, but this one's in Michigan. You know, you walk through the place and they have all kinds of placards up there to talk about how this was funded by, you know, the gas pipeline and that type of stuff. And that brings value to both things, right? It brings value to the utility to put this pipe in there, but also the fact that, hey, we got some benefit from doing that.
You know, another interesting prospect would be we could then approach these other bodies within River Forest, like the school district or the park district, who might not be, you know, thinking along these lines. And we could say, well, could we encourage you to perhaps consider putting some kind of window strike deterrent on your gymnasium windows? You guys are always saying you're strapped, you know, for cash, you don't have money, but we'll offer you 10,000, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And with between the taxing bodies of River Forest, we might be able to negotiate in that same way. So, yeah, it's all sorts of possibilities.
That's just my thought on that.
Yeah, I think that is good. Public-facing, kind of visible, sustainable initiatives.
All right. So just so I have everything correct here, this would be to recommend that the Village Board approve an ordinance extending the terms of the aggregation program with MC Squared, taking the civic contribution offer for a term length of 24 months, and with the revenue generated from the civic contribution, the civic grant, going towards a visible community-facing sustainability project.
Projects.
Or projects put forward at the recommendation of the Sustainability Commission.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I also make a little footnote that probably makes sense for the greater MC Squared the caucus to do a little bit of show us the numbers. Show us that we're getting a fair deal if they haven't.
Well, I, you know, I'd like to amend that as I thought about it, which is, you know, I think sometimes just asking the question. So to reach out to MC Squared, whoever's the ultimate person here, and say, you know, prior to making this decision, we would like to know, you know, what are you making off of these program on these 2000 households, and see if they would provide an answer to say, you know, in order to put this in context, it seems like a very low number. Because when we compare this back to the 36,000, they did not originally have 2,000 households. I think it was under 1,000. So now they have a program which is twice as big, and they're giving us less than half of the. And I understand that costs change over time and everything, but it would, you know, I feel like there needs to be some pushing back, and just to say, like, oh yeah, well, you know, we'll just take whatever comes. Just ask them. I'm sure they're gonna skirt and not answer, but they. I mean, their business, they clearly know what they're making off of these different programs, because how could they determine what they were going to give us if they didn't know? So that would be my recommendation, that we at least ask, and that, you know, then maybe we work with other bodies to say, like, you know, this is not much.
bring up one thing that is that slipped my mind back at item five, the Bird City.
Before we do that, are we done with this one, Seth? Yeah, do we need to do anything with this?
Did we want to make the recommendation to the board for the terms of the contract?
Okay, I propose that Seth read us what he has down, and we can decide. Then we make a yay or nay, right?
So yeah, the official recommendation to the board would be to approve ordinance extending the terms of the agreement with MC Squared, accepting the offer of the Civic Grant for a term length of 24 months, with the revenues generated from the Civic Grant going towards visible sustainability projects at the recommendation of the Sustainability Commission. And then in addition to that, further guidance from the commission would be to seek information on the financial gain that the aggregation program is receiving from the number of River Forest residents enrolled in the program.
Yeah, I would say clarity. Use the word clarity.
Yeah. And I mean, again, that would have to be asked before, because after we sign on the dotted line, they wouldn't really care. But just to reach out and say, you know, in considering this, we are interested in knowing, you know, what is the financial gain of the aggregation program? And how was this civic contribution? You know, how does that tie into it, and how is it?
Well, this is something that would then become relevant in 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this is a long-term commitment to establishing a basis of communication and negotiation with MC Squared or whatever. And you're proposing that this is something that the staff take on?
It's just a question.
But based on the answers you received, you may enter into negotiations.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So
this is a project that is beyond me, that I'm not, you know, who's responsible for then for whatever follows from this.
My general response back would likely be that upon initial discussion, the commission is recommending the civic contribution offer. However, question was raised regarding, I'm trying to think of the best way to word it.
How this amount was determined, and
which say the continued reduction in benefit. That's what was really raising this, right?
But I mean, I think we at least have to give the impression that we're taking this into account. Like, you know, if you're giving us, you know, 5% of what you take in profit in this, then
yeah, how the civic contribution amount was determined.
And what is
in
it
relation
like
to the enrollment number within the community?
Because, you know, they can always, after you sign this, they can come back. I mean, it's up to them who they want to. So they can, you know, they can come back and say, like, okay, well, and they will. They will reconsider each time, because households are going to be sold. And so there will be adjustments in terms of who's actually in these. It does refer to, in the RECs portion, it does refer to residential power, which makes me wonder if there are businesses in here, but
it's primarily residential. They do include, I think it's like generally says residential and small commercial, and I think it's like under a certain kilowatt usage. Yeah,
you know, like I said, just a little pushback, because I think if everybody just rolls over, they'll be like, okay, well, we didn't need to offer very good compensation, as they haven't in the past years. When it says that on the 10%, I know we're not going there, but I'm just trying to understand this. It says 10% based on the annual residential power, but only including the households which are on it.
Oh, only those that are on it. Yes. All right. So I will just, doesn't need a vote, but the commission directive to staff is to contact MC Squared, note interest in the civic contribution, but wanting further clarity on how the amount of the civic grant was determined with regard to the enrollment in the program. Yeah. Yes.
Because enrollment is number, so specifically profits.
Yeah.
What they're getting out of this program and how the crumbs they're throwing us relates to that. It'd just be interesting to know. I think you'll have a very hard time getting an answer to the question, but at least you're signaling that we're thinking about this.
How it was determined with regards to MC Squared's profits through the village's participation and village residents' participation in the program. Well, and then...
Could you... as I understand it, your observation is that the total, this civic grant is not keeping up with the number of households enrolled proportionally?
The amount of money the MC Squared, the aggregation provider, is making off of the number of households enrolled in the program.
I thought you had said that this civic grant that they're offering, it was a previous...
The first year was 36,000, right, and there were under 1,000 households in the program.
Right, so there's more households enrolled.
Yep.
Yes.
And there's...
Well, it's not enrolled because that's within their control. So MC Squared determines that. So they come in, they look at the households, and they go... So, yeah. Whatever they determine.
More participating households.
Yeah, great, yeah.
But the grant has...
Less than half.
Flat or less.
Less than, compared to the first year, it's less than half. But then we have intervening renewals where we got almost nothing. We got 5%. 5% rex.
I mean, I would just ask for the explanation of these variations and discrepancies instead of, you know, maybe... I mean, you could ask them what your profit rate is, but that's aggressive.
I'm sure whatever we say, they're going to figure out what they want to say. So, but you know, and I would like to know, like at the next meeting,
I will plan to report back on that.
It's online. You can find it. They have to report.
Yeah.
They have to report to profits. I mean, you can go look it up.
Okay. And then did we want to make an official recommendation to the board?
Yeah.
Yet?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I would think so.
When does the board have to make this determination?
They would need to do, I think they would need to do this vote on this latest by the first meeting in May, which I actually believe.
Well, then let's hold back until so why don't we decide to vote next time that we're leaning towards the 24 month, but we would like more clarifying information. And you can, so then you can honestly say to them, you know, before the Sustainability Commission can make a recommendation, they'd like more information on the overall benefit of this and how this amount for the civic contribution was determined.
Perfect. Will do. All right. So we will continue this next month, and I will reach out and try my best to get some answers. At least make sure the questions are asked.
I think just asking the questions is important.
Yeah. All right. So moving on.
David wanted to go back.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I forgot to ask. Susan and I had discussed, I had raised the issue of just some help with record keeping on the Bird City application. So I don't know if you're planning to kind of head up the actual application itself.
Yes, and I'm
checking off the boxes.
Yep, and I'm
okay.
I've within the past couple of weeks gained more bandwidth to sort of refocus efforts at catching up with that. It's
I don't know if you feel like if we should have someone in charge of keeping track or if you can handle that.
So
I can send you my kind of thoughts on it. Susan can send you her thoughts.
Yeah, you guys send me your thoughts. And then what I'll plan for the next meeting with regard to all the Bird City stuff is should have hopefully a draft public facing page and then sort of an organization of what actions we're seeking and what documentation we have or will be needed for it.
Okay. And all the things we feel that have been accomplished, even if we don't wind up highlighting them in the application this time around, you know, you'll have that kind of range of,
yep.
Okay. Okay. That's great. So we'll just like, if Susan thinks, oh, we did this and it qualifies, you know, it ticks off that, she can let you know and you'll note it and I'll do the same.
And you know, and I think even where, you know, even where we've exceeded the minimums, it's just good to have all of that information together. It's good for us because we're, and, you know, and it's a reference. And
if we reapply every year, we can vary the actions that we
and highlight. Actually, we only need to reapply every 3 years. Need to make sure we're adopting the proclamation and hosting the public event every year. But any sort of other things that we take on, we just need that sort of documentation every third year of the stuff that has.
So it would, I mean, would your record, whatever you create then would be kind of a living thing.
Yeah.
Okay. We could add to, and yep. 3 years from now, go back and see what we selected in our application for this year and maybe swap in other things. We'd have that ability.
Yep.
Okay. That's great. All right.
All right. Next item, and we don't need to get too deep into this. So, Manolo had reached out to, Trustee Gillis with this idea. She had asked that we add this to the agenda. I'd briefly touched base with Manolo about this, but I know Manolo had suggested sort of developing or putting out some sort of, it was almost like a voluntary guidance, and what Trustee Gillis sort of imagined was sort of like a one-page document of a green building guide. And Manolo, you can feel free to jump in here and discuss and correct me. I believe a lot of the focus would be on electrification of sort of new buildings and renovations and things that we can sort of provide to the public of just sort of ways to make their home more green. And I don't know if there was a lot on energy efficiency and weatherization or if it was more focused on the electrification aspects of it, but I know you sort of had a vision of it, so I'll let you sort of introduce the idea.
Yeah. I was thinking it could be mostly focused on electrification and maybe like introduce as well, like a short one pager about how this can ultimately save you money, because right currently, it costs more to heat your home with fossil fuels and gas. My mind's not working. It's so long day. But that is ultimately what I was thinking. And like I'm thinking it would cover housing and buildings, and I presume that the village, or you have to get a permit to do like renovations and stuff, and the way I imagine it is it just goes in with the paperwork at the end as like headline recommendations. But yeah, open to thoughts and feedback. And I could start drafting one if people like this idea.
Yeah. So, Manolo, just for with regard to like the permitting process, you know, major renovations, people need to go through a permitting process. And yet, there could very easily be sort of a like informational flyer that's sort of included with everything. Just the information that they're given. I know with a lot of electrical stuff, they have to follow specific portions of the National Electric Code. So I don't know exactly how this would tie in with that. The one issue, and this might make more sense to just shift, this is a more generally public facing document, is that things like switching out an appliance, you know, even if it's, you know, a hot water heater or a stove or something like that, just a simple appliance swap does not necessarily require a permit. Obviously, if there was some sort of ductwork or electrical work, that would then necessitate a permit. But so I'm just in terms of sort of identifying the limitations of when this information would be shared and making sure it gets to the correct people or people in the correct decision-making process, I guess.
Manolo, I like your idea, and it sounds like your focus is on energy efficiency. Would you also be interested in sustainability of building materials and perhaps recommendations along those lines? Also, sort of guidelines concerning health aspects of different building materials and processes. A lot of this is kind of what the LEED certification process involves.
I am familiar with the LEED certification process, but yeah, I feel like I'm not as well versed in that area if you've like dealt with LEED and stuff before. Yeah, definitely would love your input, but yeah, and we'll try to stick it to one page, I guess.
Manolo, was this something that Oak Park had as well? Or like something similar to this?
Theirs is, I believe they have something similar to this, but theirs is mandated.
Okay.
Yeah, so just for everyone's awareness, yeah, Oak Park has a mandate that all new construction, the buildings be fully electric, so electric heating, everything else. They are currently facing a lawsuit because of this mandate. I'll just leave that there.
I mean, there's a whole world of sustainability issues surrounding, like, you know, building elements, floorings, roofing materials, disposal, what you do with waste and debris is a huge environmental issue. So electrification is one very important part of it. But and then something like lead, for example, all these old homes, the EPA has very strict requirements about how you renovate and contain lead. And I don't think most people pay any attention to that. What's that?
And asbestos.
Asbestos, yeah. So yeah, just throwing that out there to, you know, kind of think about how broadly you want to construe green building.
I think as wide as this commission thinks we should take it, I think the wider the better, but also people, I find my parents, I feel like, don't like reading and signing documents, or they just don't look at them. So we probably want to make it beautiful. And as Seth said, try to make it to one page.
And there could even potentially be sort of multiple things, like, you know, there could be a one page document on sort of electrification recommendations with regard to, you know, heat pumps, induction stoves, everything else like that. And then there could be something else put together on sustainable building materials and sort of
pollution.
Yes.
How you should remediate lead.
Yeah.
You know,
and I mean, there could even potentially be a third one on, you know, weatherization and just sort of like weather stripping and things like that. And
yeah, for sure.
So I think there's a lot of ways to go with this. And, you know, again, this is just sort of to introduce the idea to you all. And it sounds like we've got a few ideas going. So I'll plan to just sort of keep this on the agenda as a discussion item over the next few months. And, you know, I know a lot of our focus will be on some other things, but sort of as ideas develop and information gets sort of pulled together, you know, commission can throw out ideas and we can go from there.
Sounds good.
Manolo, do you have anything else to add for this one?
Nope. Thanks, Seth.
All right. We are almost at 8:30. I will quickly give everyone some updates. So no major updates with the rooftop solar project. We need to get one of our meters at our public works garage, swapped out with a new one to hook up to the right equipment because everything in that building is very old. But the panels have been purchased. The inverter has been purchased. They're finishing up the final portions of the electrical design. So it's moving along, and hopefully over the next few months, we'll start to see some real, real progress on it. EV charging stations, we've got two lots with fully operational charging stations now. There was some headaches that I had ironed out over the last week about just those ones and being publicly available and charging correctly and all that stuff, but it is all fully taken care of and they are up and running. And then North Avenue provided information to the people at the CVS property owners and everything else. Still waiting on their sign off on the utility easement. But once that's done, hopefully we can hit the ground running there as well. Beyond that, I did have the landscape contracting company who just took over maintenance of the Chicago Avenue bioswales last year come out and take a look at the Hawthorne native planting site and then the Central Avenue butterfly garden. He's actually should be getting me some quotes within the next couple days. So he was going to break it out, both the restoration of the current native planting site, what it would look like to expand to the northwest corner, and then restoration of the butterfly garden, which he said looked like it was in pretty good shape, just needed some sort of general cleaning up, a few replantings, and sort of defining the edges of it better. So should hopefully get some news there, and then that will all be going in for a grant application for the ComEd Open Lands Grant. I did just hear, I think, maybe yesterday or Friday, I need to look back, I can forward you the email, we did not win the Missouri Prairie Foundation grant.
Would this landscaping company, would their plans have anything to do with the design that was given to the, that I came up with, just out of curiosity?
I did not provide them with your design. I had had them just a pretty quick meeting, and just while a lot of the focus was on that northeast corner, and just he was really trying to get a good assessment with that. When he looked at the other side, he's like, honestly, with a site like this, it's easier because we would just tear up the grass and then plant stuff new.
Sure. can I ask that we have some input into whatever they decide to do?
Yep.
Okay.
And then I got an email from our great resident volunteer, Christy Hunt, with the next round of EcoShip collection for Earth Month. So she sent me actually an email this afternoon on that. And it sounds like for the next collection, we'll get the standard sort of donation bin, but it's going to come with two special containers, one for shoe donations and one for all of the cardboard boxes. So I don't have full details on that. But yeah, just got an email this week, and then start promoting that in a couple weeks through the social media and the newsletter. Just quickly looking at communications. Lights out information for migratory birds will go this week. Next week will be information on yard sign recycling. Two of the carts located out front here at the composting center will be converted temporarily. I'll put some, you know, printed out piece of paper on them saying one is for metal stakes only and one is for the corrugated plastic yard signs only. And that'll run for typically, I think it's 2 weeks. We'll do it for following the election. And then start promoting EcoShip the following weekend. And then for the month of April, we've got just a list of Earth Month events. And I'll start to plug in the Bird City events as well with that, just to have sustainability events further out in the future. A reminder on the leaf blower ordinance and that being set to take effect in mid-May, and then Earth Day and Arbor Day.
So I believe that is everything.
So for the communication, when you need, if you need information or just a blurb on any of the three events that we're hosting, just, you know, let me know and I'll shoot you something.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. And I do think I've got the, all the info for the big, the sit, the big bird sit. But yeah, I had not seen anything else on the, I checked the library's website probably a week ago or so at this point, there wasn't anything up on their calendar.
I just emailed him today. So that's should be coming down. When you have a slot, if you want to advertise, when you need it, just let me know.
Perfect. Will do. But that is all I have got. And then our next meeting is not until the 14th. So we've got a 5-week gap until our next meeting. Does anybody else have any further business or comments?
So at the next meeting, I will try to have the protocol materials ready to go for you guys to look at, because we'll be launching into the monitoring a few weeks after that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I'll have sort of the broader record keeping of everything, hopefully all set up and in place.
That would be great. Yeah. Okay. Awesome.
With that, we need a motion to adjourn.
I motion to adjourn.
All right.
I'll second.
All right. Co-Chair Charette?
Yes.
Co-Chair Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Cadlec?
Yes.
Commissioner Avalos?
Yes.
Commissioner Hoyt.
Yeah. You got it.
Yep. All right. We are adjourned at 8:30.